In spiritual circles, we often hear a lot about liberation, bondage, and freedom. Bondage is false identification with the limited. It's the result of fixating on aspects of experience and then identifying with them. This excessive or exclusive identification or attachment born out of desire and fear. Life is fixating on an aspect and seemingly overlooking the infinite entirety of itself. And that's what we call bondage. And that's what we call suffering. It's what we call me, the limited self. As life, you are free to forget and to manifest as these separate, limited egos. Whatever is unfolding right now, including thoughts of not being free, that is all part of this mode of life that life, which is you, is choosing. And there's also a possibility within that of liberation. Really, the process of liberation isn't a person becoming free. It's the release of beliefs, of false ideas. So we can have this idea of liberation or freedom, and we can project it out into the future. But nothing has to change to be free. Freedom is a quality of your true nature. It just is. You are holding all of this, and not only holding, but generating, illuminating, animating. You are that light of consciousness that enlightens this whole play of phenomena. You are that wakefulness that animates all of this, breathes life into all of this.
You've basically believed that you're not free. And once you feel like you're a human being in a body, you do feel like freedom's something out there to be had that I need to go and get, and I'm not free at the moment. What you actually are is freedom itself. It's just complete and utter freedom. If you're already free, then what is there to do other than notice that fact? And that can take lots of different forms. It could look like a gradual unraveling of your beliefs and your ideas about life and everything else, or it can just look like a sudden direct noticing that you always were a complete and utter freedom. Noticing that what already exists is freedom. What this is unfolding to itself perfectly in every single way. Everything is held unconditionally in that freedom. The freedom is the allowance of all of that. The allowance for everything can just appear a never-ending unraveling back into complete and utter knowing of that freedom that you are, because the parameters are already set for you to unravel back to what you already were. There's nothing else going on. It's the great adventure. It's the greatest possible adventure. All is well and everything is unfolding as it should, because it can't not be. If you were to see the big picture in its entirety, you'd go, I don't want to change one little tiny thing. This is perfect. There is no liberation. There is no bondage. There is just this limitless sentience.
You're listening to the Non-Duality Podcast. This is Nick Higham from NisargaYoga.com. And here with me is Paul Dobson. So bondage is forgetfulness of life, your entirety. And as life, you are free to forget and to manifest as these separate, limited egos. It's life that is pretending this way, choosing this experience. And there's also a possibility within that of liberation, which is only the process of seeing the falsity of your beliefs in bondage, in your beliefs that you're not free. Liberation is defined as the process of striving to be free. And again, we can focus quite exclusively on that process of striving to be free, but it's still supposes that you're not free. So any process that is about becoming liberated is based on the idea that you are not already free. You are freedom itself. What gets liberated? Can an idea get liberated? Yeah, ideas do get liberated. And that's essentially what happens in liberation. Ideas are liberated. Ideas are seen through. Ideas are dropped. Ideas are seen to be incorrect. That seems to expand your focus away from that idea, that belief, to the bigger picture. And then you start to discern the qualities of your true nature. beyond this idea of bondage. You get that clarity, love. It's freedom because you're seeing through the false.
That's a good point, isn't it? You've just forgotten that you're free in one way or another. You've got lost in the illusion or delusion or whatever, but you've basically believed that you're not free. By affirming that I am free, you're lining up with that part of yourself to put it into parts provisionally, that part of yourself that is totally free. The aspect of yourself that isn't caught up in all the illusion, the lie that you're not free, the beliefs that you're separate, that you can be separate from God, that you can be separate from another person, that there's any sort of separation on any level, which causes the feeling that you're not free. Because what you actually are is freedom itself, isn't it? It's just complete and utter freedom. And once you feel like you're a human being in a body, you do feel like freedom's something out there to be had that I need to go and get, and I'm not free at the moment. You feel very contracted, and it's all a feeling, really. It's down to feelings and beliefs, but none of it's actually true. It's quite similar to what we were saying last week, isn't it? Like this contracted vortex of ego that makes us believe that we're not free. And you could argue there's a whole point to that as well, that that's part of the gameplay that we've got going on. But if you're already free, then what is there to do other than notice that fact? And that can take lots of different forms. It could look like a gradual unraveling of your beliefs and your ideas about life and everything else, or it can just look like a sudden direct noticing that you always were a complete and utter freedom. It's not that you've gained some new qualities, it's like that comes through your unraveling process into what you already were. There's actually a really simple way of looking at what liberation is or what freedom is. How much bondage is there in deep sleep? How much liberation is needed in deep sleep? Because whatever exists there is, you're basically dissolving into what you already are. And if there's no bondage there, then there's no bondage here. There has to be an idea that, oh, I'm this contracted sense of self and I need to find something called liberation and freedom, which isn't here. In this moment, we're already totally there. Every moment is a choice, you could say, between whether you're going to choose this contracted little sense of self or this openness, this freedom, this enlightened being that you already are, always were, timelessly, eternally. The choice between fear and love is another way of putting that. But really, it's no different than noticing that what already exists is freedom. Most of the time, unfortunately, you do end up gravitating towards fear with every moment decisions and every moment perceptions of life. And it feels like it's some sort of death, doesn't it? If you pick freedom, if you pick the noticing of what you truly are, because that sense of self that you've been identifying with can't really exist there. It doesn't. It seemed that it was always irrelevant, and that's its whole job is kind of to make itself relevant and to keep itself alive through its own fear and its desires and its resistance and all of the other stuff that goes with that. So in this moment now, both options exist. Both options exist. And it's not a case of beating yourself up if you do happen to keep choosing fear. It's not like that. It means a certain momentum hasn't been started, perhaps. It's all as it should be. But in this moment, it's totally here. You're totally free in this moment. See if you can find that freedom in this moment, because it does exist. It's 100% existent. Or you can go the other way about it. See what is convincing you that freedom isn't here totally right now. What is the belief? What is the thought? What is the contraction or some idea, some concept that makes you believe you're not free right now? And something will pop up. And then inquire into that as well. Go, is this thought true that says I'm not free, that I'm just this little person? Or whatever it happens to be. And then just keep working way through this contracted knot of thoughts and beliefs. And eventually there's nothing else to work through and you're standing where you always were, which is in complete and utter freedom.
Absolutely. Yeah. What is free now? Can you find freedom now? You might find freedom in the most mundane ways. Is the air free? Is the light free? Is your breathing, your breath free? Can you find that quality of freedom here and now? And can you know it to be a quality of your true nature, expressed as an appearance, but absolutely what you are? When you get that taste of freedom, it's the taste of your true nature. As you said, you can also question what you believe, what your thoughts tell you, what your convictions say about your present state of bondage, of not being free, and all the things that you need to do to get to a state of freedom. Question those, inquire into those. Are they valid? Do they hold any water, really?
If someone's searching for freedom, then that's perfect, because that while it looks like the search for freedom, it can't be other. It can't possibly be other than that, can it? So where you are, it's perfect. Of course, you were always free, and this might be helpful when you just notice that and go, wait a minute, do I need to be searching for freedom? Am I always free? And if you notice that, then you can cut through the whole thing. But if it feels like you really are searching for freedom and you really don't feel free, then you're in the perfect place anyway. You because that will only continue for so long. It's the perfect unfoldment of what this is. What this is, and I say this so many times, but what this is unfolding to itself perfectly in every single way. And that includes all your little thoughts, all your neuroses. It's exactly where it is, and it's exactly appropriate for where it is at that time. And in a sense, that's freedom, because there's complete trust in what the unfoldment is. You can just take your hands off the handlebars and just let go and go, okay, this is going to take me. My will, what people might call free will or not free will, whatever it happens to be, is part of that process. My dog barking is perfect. I can't shut him up when he starts. And that's kind of like the unfoldment process, isn't it?
Yeah. So whatever is happening right now, whatever is unfolding right now, including your thoughts that seem to be thoughts of bondage or thoughts of not being free, that is all part of this mode of life that life, which is you, is choosing. So life is choosing this moment. Life is free to choose this moment. Reality is freely expressing, manifesting itself as this moment, including the thoughts that you're stuck, that you're incomplete, that you're lacking, that you're away from what you desire. And if you just appreciate, even just for a moment, this present moment, and a lot is said about the present moment, and it can often sound like it's one of many moments, but there is really ever this moment here and now, and it's not a time-based moment. We can only ever inquire into this moment right now. This is where the richness is. So if you just take a moment to appreciate this moment and recognize how you are aware, you are conscious effortlessly. There's nothing you have to do to be conscious, to be aware. You're also aware of what you take yourself to be. Your awareness, your consciousness, your beingness is prior to any identification. It knows, it's detached from any identification, any sense of bondage or limitation. I'm just using words like awareness because they're the words we have, but you can use any word you like. See how right now your awareness includes all of this present moment. Whatever's arising in this present moment is effortlessly held, and your consciousness saturates everything equally. And not only saturates it and holds it, but also creates it. It's this creative, infinite potential of life energy that you are. And it's producing all of this rich display of itself. And see how, as such, you are free to manifest that way, to freely express yourself this way in this unique presentation of sights and sounds and feelings and thoughts. That's freedom. This freedom to create, this freedom to be, freedom to recognize yourself in infinite ways of what we could call duality. But really, it's not duality. There's no separation. If all is you, there's no separation. If all is made of you, there's no separation. So we can have this idea of liberation or freedom, and we can seemingly project it out into the future. One day I'll be free. But look to this very moment. Life is free to be as this. Even what you might call the dark thoughts or feelings, the unwanted stuff, somehow that is all part of freedom. Nothing has to change to be free. It's not remove this stuff, then I'll be free. You are free, and this stuff is free to move through you until it fades out. And that stuff is you, and you are freely meeting all of that, manifesting all of that. So that's freedom.
If you look into your own experience deep enough, you'll find there's nothing other than God. It's just, it's not a philosophical idea. It's just the state of affairs. Whatever you want to call God, it doesn't have to be called God. But what this is only made of itself. It's not a composite of different parts. It's only itself. It could be, say, different vibrational frequencies. There's lots of ways of putting it. It's only itself expressing in different vibrational ways, I guess. But fear is the denial of that, basically. Fear is, of course, just as much God, but it's God denying God, which is a really odd state of affairs. And that's kind of the wavelength or the perspective that human beings live through, is this God denying God perspective. They're on that. And there's not that there's anything wrong with that. Clearly, whatever God is having a trip, and it's chosen to forget itself. So you can think of the worst possible thing. Every thought, even the ones you're really ashamed by, the thoughts that just appear out of nowhere, and your actions and anything that you regret, is all perfectly appropriate for where exactly you are at that time in your life, in your unfoldment, as, you know, an expression of God, basically. There's nothing left out of God. Everything is held unconditionally in that freedom that we're talking about, that is God, and is free to express as that. There's nothing wrong, which is a very different perspective on things. You know, the freedom is the allowance of all of that, the allowance for everything can just appear. This is where it really helps to just, even if for a moment, if it's a meditation or something else, that you could just get the big picture, because you can kind of see where everything fits, even if it's momentarily. And you can never get a big enough picture, but you can start to sense that, oh, everything's perfect. No matter how dark anything appears to be, it can always eventually be re-seen as absolutely perfect and be, you could say, reclaimed in its divinity. And from that perspective, it's freed. It's there's something happens there. It's like an alchemizing of what is already existent.
Yeah. You, as life, as reality, are free to experience bondage, and you're also free to experience freedom. And here's the thing, when you experience bondage, you're actually only ever experiencing freedom, because you are free to experience bondage. There's only you, there's only one life, and the life that you are is choosing this experience of apparent bondage. So that's freedom. Freedom is there right within the experience of bondage, because it's you, life, who is choosing to experience that or choosing to express yourself that way. Freedom is a quality of your true nature. It just is. It's the state of being free. You could call it a stateless state, the natural state, the natural way of things, and it's unconditional. It's a freedom that isn't the result of something. Nothing had to happen to be free. You are freedom.
That is an absolute truth. You are freedom. Basically, that's a truth. You can convince yourself that you're not freedom very easily. You're free to do that. And that is freedom. You see it when you see it. But one thing you do know for sure is that you're experiencing right now. And that experiencing fact just the fact of experiencing, not what is being experienced or what labels you're putting on the experience or how you're splitting it all apart or in or what you want to call it, just the nameless, direct, naked, raw experience of this moment right now. That is complete and utter freedom, regardless of what you place on it. It habitually, it might seem, as a human being, you can quickly turn that freedom into what we might call bondage. You can quickly seem to turn that freedom into bondage by your thoughts and ideas. But if you stay with your just your absolute direct and absolutely raw experience without going into anything and just assume that you don't know anything, then you're in freedom. And it is actually, it pays to hang out there as much as you can, because eventually you will, and you're not losing anything, obviously, but eventually it will feel like you lose stuff and your mind gets sucked into that vortex of your beliefs and thoughts and concepts. And then you have to go off and do something, and that's fine. But the more you hang out there, the more you kind of get a feel for what that is and how true it is. And it feels more like home than what you've taken yourself to be, which is the ego and all the beliefs and concepts and thoughts and memories. And that immediate raw presence that you are starts to feel more like home, because it is home. It is what you are. But if you just remind yourself gently that you don't know anything, you do not know what this is right now. There is this direct experience of this moment, this eternal moment. There's not several moments, just this one moment. And just be with that. In Dzogchen, they say, small noticings many times. Stay with that as many times as you can throughout the day until it becomes, you realize that's your home, and that's your home again. You've left your home and made a new home. Basically, you've been living outside in some trash can and thinking it's your home. That's just like the ego that you're living in. But you've got this palace. You've got this infinite, amazing, vibrant, ecstatic, love-filled palace, which you are. Just wander back into your palace, that direct experience, that raw presence of who you are, because that's who you are. The thoughts and ideas about appearances and yourself come afterwards, don't they? Not that there's a linearity to it, but it's like a downstream of that direct source, the sea, the ocean that you are. And you're taking yourself for like this little stream. So just come back to that, basically. It's very simple. I mean, I've been trying to come up with the words throughout this episode, and I could probably delete everything I've said other than that, to be honest, because that's all that matters. What you are is that direct experience, that thing that's already free.
Yeah, there isn't freedom and non-freedom. The idea of non-freedom is only ever in the context of freedom, and is only possible because of the context of freedom that you are. So true freedom isn't freedom from, but freedom within. Experientially aligning with the fact of freedom is about giving attention to what is, as opposed to fixating on aspects of what is. And that fixation is that sense of limitation, that sense of fragmentation, characterized by pleasure and pain, grasping and aversion. It's who I am. It's my life. Missing out on the entirety. Where there is fixation, there is tension. You feel it. You feel that tension. It's translated in the body as a somatic experience and energy, and we tend to associate with that. Notice that you already effortlessly hold whatever is here in awareness. Isn't that amazing? That you can hold all of this. You are holding all of this, and not only holding, but generating, illuminating, animating. You are that light of consciousness that enlightens this whole play of phenomena. You are that wakefulness that animates all of this, breathes life into all of this. And so tuning in to your infinite capacity of attention, awareness, experientially seems to expand your focus from that contracted point of fixation to more and more your fullness. It's only a matter of focus. You can, at any time, you can effortlessly just appreciate what is here. If you're experiencing what feels like bondage or stuckness or limitation, notice that they are just thoughts. They are just facets of experience. And as you expand your attention, move your attention, your focus to a quality of your true nature. Zoom out from what seems to get your attention, what seems to suck you in. You could call that meditation, that zooming out, holding in awareness effortlessly. And you can also zoom in and you can explore the deeper nature of anything, whether that be something that occurs inside or outside the body, and to ask what is true, and that you could call inquiry. Ultimately, you will find when you zoom in to anything and you pay close attention to anything, you will find something like energy, something like aliveness. That is freedom, because it's pure potential. It's only later that it gets labeled as anxiety or shame or any kind of experience of suffering. It's only a label, but what it actually is that you're zooming into is pure life potential itself. And it's what you seek. And in that pure potential is nothing but freedom. It's the freedom to create, to manifest and to experience. And you find that in anything at all. There's no things, nothing that arises within this that isn't made of that. And that is freedom. So it's that decontraction or expansion of attention from a exclusive, excessive fascination on aspects of experience that you identify with, to this loving embrace, this relaxed attention of all that is here, all that is unfolding, and knowing yourself to be that. That's freedom. And also, as you said, when you zoom in to anything, it's indefinable. Beyond the labels, beyond the ideas, the imagination, it's indefinable. And that also points to freedom. Freedom is the recognition of the indefinability and therefore the oneness of all things. Knowing that there aren't things, there is only you, there is only freedom, and you are that. By seeing that you can't define any expression of reality, you discover this profound freedom and you wake up to what already is, this indescribability of everything. You find that everything in life and life itself, you, are both indescribable and undeniable. You can negate any concepts, but you can't negate this pure positivity of being, and that's your freedom. You don't know what anything is. It's the freedom of not knowing, not being so dependent on the known, on your knowledge. It was never able to accurately describe any of this. And it's such a relief. It's like, oh, I don't have to hold on to my ideas, my concepts. It's the freedom of not knowing. And there's so much spaciousness there, and ease and flow and potential.
Yeah, but not knowing is freedom, isn't it? The direct experiencing is a fact. That is a fact. It's staying with direct experience, that's a fact. The ability to which you're able to stay there without getting pulled off in different directions is, to me, it seems, how much you've released those contractions of personality structure and your beliefs and all that kind of stuff. If those are no longer knots that keep dragging you off, then you can just stay with direct experience all the time and see it as it really is. And it's not so much a staying as an obviousness. You go, oh, how could I ever possibly have ever been convinced otherwise, that I'm anything but free and, you know, the highest of the high at all times, through all circumstances, all situations, all experiences, whatever occurs? How could I ever have been convinced otherwise?
Yeah. So we have these two tools, meditation and inquiry. They don't have to follow a certain process, look a certain way. Just follow those principles, zooming in, zooming out. don't stay fixated on any level. When you zoom out, you start to recognize what sorts of beliefs float through you awareness. And they're quite repetitive. And that repetition creates this sort of density, this meanness, and keeps coming back round and round and round and round. And that's that fixation. It's that excessive interest in something. And you don't need to do that. You never need to do that. You never really need to stay on that level. So zoom out or inquire and zoom in to that bundle of meanness. And all you find is beliefs. You only ever find beliefs. Yeah, you do find energies and so on, but they're really neutral. It's just life energy, as I said. But what seems to be sticky and compelling are the beliefs that get attached to what you experience. So really, the process of liberation isn't a person becoming free. It's the effortless release of beliefs, of false ideas. And that process is already happening. For example, you're not thinking about the sky right now, even though the sky is something that recurs in your experience, comes back around again in your awareness. Right now, before I mentioned it, you weren't thinking about the sky. So everything is self-liberating. Every arising is self-liberating. It's got like liberation. In a way, it's got liberation built into everything. When I say everything, I just mean every concept. Every concept self-liberates. What you were thinking about 20 minutes ago, I mean, really, there is no time, but, you know, just use the idea. What you were thinking about 20 minutes ago, you're not thinking about now. What you experienced 20 minutes ago, you're not experiencing now. Whatever you were experiencing liberated itself. You didn't have to get involved in any of that. Actually, you were involved because there's only you. You are the substance of all of that and also the ground. So there's no need for liberation because you are free. But just to use it as a concept, playfully and provisionally, it's only beliefs that get liberated, never a person. And really, the person is a belief. So in that sense, the person does get liberated, but know that you're always free. You're always free.
You are the one dreamer. Literally dream yourself as all of these people, places, things, apparently. It's just pure experiencing. It's consciousness. It's whatever that is, whatever consciousness is. I mean, you can't even describe consciousness. It's this amazing sentience. And that is, it has this sentience that expresses and manifests. It's just mind-bogglingly powerful. This character is a dream character. You always were God. You're just dreaming up this character called Paul or Nick or whatever the listener's name is. And you're just dreaming unfreedom out of freedom, dreaming bondage out of within freedom. And you're free to do that, of course. But at some point you go, I'm not enjoying this. I'm not enjoying this ride. I'm not enjoying this dream. And then that's when you start to wake yourself back up. Obviously, you were always free. Technically, you were never not free. But the seed has been planted the second you realize a never-ending unraveling back into a complete and utter knowing of that freedom that you are, complete and utter grounding in that freedom that you are, reclaiming that freedom that you already were, and no longer pretending that you're otherwise.
Yeah, so none of this is about gain. It's not about gaining anything, not about arriving at a certain state. The state that you desire is already here. It's this natural ground of freedom. You're already standing on it. You're that ground of freedom. That ground of freedom has produced this opportunity to experience duality. You're already standing firmly on that ground of freedom. You don't have to arrive there. So it's only the disillusion of ignorance of your true nature and dispelling, you could say, debunking the beliefs that you're not already free. That's the process of liberation. Letting go, not through effort, but through questioning your ideas that you're not already free. And then at once you know yourself to be firmly grounded in your natural state of freedom. So you're always this open, free, unlimited reality. There's one reality. There's one reality and everything is it. Every experience arises spontaneously out of that absolute freedom of reality, of life. So see the fact that you don't have to arrive at this present moment and see that this present moment is what you're seeking. It's the freedom that you're seeking, exactly how it is right now. It's only ever about the freedom that you overlook. And even that overlooking comes from freedom. You're free to overlook and you're free to remember. And whether one is spiritually inclined or not, life is the process of remembering. Everything we do, absolutely everything we do, everything we seek, everything we create is for that purpose, is that process of remembering what you truly are, reclaiming your freedom, pretending to forget, working at remembering through every means possible. We are that one life, that one and only reality that manifests as everything and everyone. And in our very nature is that capacity to manifest in infinite ways out of total freedom.
Yeah. What we're calling God is infinity. Is infinity, infinite power, infinite creativity, infinite everything. Every possible thing you can think of, it's that and beyond that. You know, it's infinity itself. So in all of its unfathomable power and creativity and intelligence and wisdom and love for itself, it's timelessly going to have come up with the most best possible way to spend eternity. This is the unraveling of God to itself in the greatest possible adventure that it can create. And it looks like this. It looks like your experience. It looks like your lifetime after lifetime after lifetime back into your knowing of yourself as what you are. And so what you just said really resonated. Like every single little experience, the parameters are already in place, that everything is set. The stage is set. Nothing needs to be added. It's just perfect. And the parameters are already in place. So any experience you have is the perfect experience. Every single little situation, circumstance, annoying thoughts, wanting to get away from thoughts, whatever's going on is the perfect experience. It's the perfect unraveling because the parameters are already set for you to unravel back to what you already were. Because there's nothing else going on. It's the great adventure. It's the greatest possible adventure. All is well and everything is unfolding as it should, because it can't not be. It can't. So every experience you have, that experience is kind of like a catalyst. The problem is you can't see the big picture when you're in these experiences, can you? You're not zooming out. If you were to zoom out at that moment and see the big picture in its entirety, you'd go, I don't want to change one little tiny thing. This is perfect.
Yeah. This is the adventure. You have everything you need for your self-knowledge and for your self-realization. This is the process of self-knowledge. This moment, no matter the circumstances, this is the moment of self-knowledge and the unfoldment of self-realization. You are realizing yourself through all of this. You're looking at yourself as all of this. You're looking at yourself. Everything is your mirror. There's only mirror. So what does that mirror mirror but infinity? It may feel as if you are limited. It may feel as if you are bound. But you're only ever bound by your own projection. You can be anything. You can be anything. This mode of being bound and limited and seemingly not free, it's only one possibility of your infinite possibilities, because you are total freedom. This exclusive identification, this limited fascination with what you take yourself to be, that exclusive identification is what makes you feel bound. It's part of the natural unfoldment, but it doesn't have to be like this. Although it is perfectly natural and absolutely part of your process of self-knowledge and self-realization, you don't have to stay focused on one point of what you are. There's always the possibility of expanding your focus, your attention, decontracting that fixation. Nothing is forcing you to experience one facet of what you are. There's no authority out there compelling you to stay on that level. You are free. You are free to explore yourself in every way. And that's already happening. That's the thing.
Yes. And that is the freedom of you as life to be able to do that. At some point, it's a guarantee, it's an inevitability, actually, that it will become too painful to identify with this person. And you'll start to look inside where that pain's coming from, what it is, and you'll discover it's an existential pain, and then that will begin to unravel. We're just in the most fertile possible soil to grow and expand and back into what we already were.
That's freedom.
Yeah, it's freedom.
Even when you make mundane choices every day, every decision you make is an expression of that true freedom, that authentic, infinite freedom that you are. You're kind of almost like reminding yourself through all the choices you make. So do you, an entity, have free will? No, because you, the entity, is an experience among other experiences that you, the infinite experiencer, is having. So the entity does not have free will, but you, the one experiencer, absolutely do have free will, because you're willing all of this into the freedom that you are. This is the process of free will. You're willing every manifestation into your existence, into the existence that you are.
Yeah, it's free will is basically a perspective, isn't it? If you think you're the character, you don't have free will. But if you know who you really are, you do have free will. What we actually are is so powerful that it can create that as a real, what seems like a real experience, while never actually departing from what it is as the experiencing. So it's kind of funny.
You are the experiencing fact, and you make these experiences happen. They can only happen because you provide this space of experiencing. You are that creator. It's only you. As Peter Ralston says, power lies in making distinctions. Freedom lies in destroying them. You are this creative power that makes distinctions, that makes this play of duality for the purpose of self-recognition, self-exploration. And you are also that creator that all of those distinctions dissolve back into. And experientially, you can even inquire into those distinctions, and they dissolve that way too. Inevitably, they will all dissolve, but you know, it's within your power to catalyze that dissolution of everything that is false.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything is that. So there are no circumstances. There is no unfoldment. There is no liberation. There is no bondage. There are no others. There is just this limitless sentience, this limitless Shiva Shakti. And that's all that's actually happening. And the closer you stay to that fact of that, the less you're caught up in what appears to be circumstances and everything else. Again, I will bring back a dream. In the dream, there's lots of circumstances. There's stories, there's memories in dreams, which are false memories in dreams are fascinating. But so there's memories, there's stories, there's circumstances, there's a lot going on. None of it's happening. Yet it's happening as well. It's both, but it's actually, but really all there is a field of experience, a field of light, a field of color and sound. And I mean, that is all that's happening here. And that's the freedom. That is... If you can see the freedom that is already here, completely just drop the story you appear to be believing in, drop the person that you think you are, drop the life story, drop all of it, and then drop any idea that you have, any idea of what's going on whatsoever, other than you are, I am. Stay with that. And then all you've got then is just... It's circumstanceless, bondageless freedom expressing itself.
Be that, just be. even in that process of negation and you're left with just beingness or I amness, you can also watch how spontaneously that I amness, that beingness gets qualified and conditioned with various identities. They just come back in. They just come back in and you just watch them and you go, oh, okay, none of that was actually me. I'm always, prior to it, witnessing it. I can't be defined by any of that. I am that I amness. You can put aside the phrase I amness as well. You can put aside that. You can put aside beingness. Because even that is just an attempt to describe the indescribable isness that you are.